In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, boundaries are something that all of us understand pretty well. We're taught from very, very early ages that there are certain things that we can and cannot do, or should and should not do. There's so far that we may go and no farther. Trespassing signs limit access to certain areas or restrict certain people. Traffic indicators set speed limits and give directions and other warnings to control the flow of traffic and provide safety for our motorists and pedestrians. In many ways, human life is governed by established limitations and boundaries, by lines that we or others in authority have drawn. And to cross those lines can often bring pain, conflict, or ridicule. These limits are often very rigidly set for us. But today's gospel reading that we have before us breaks down barriers. It tells of the one who ignores our self-imposed realities, of the one who goes beyond what we allow ourselves to hope for or permit ourselves to believe. Our gospel reveals Jesus, who opens doors that we had believed that had been long nailed shut. For our help and our help, it is important to note the lines that Jesus crosses and what those actions mean for us and for all people. And so in our sermon today, we'll look at several boundaries and how Jesus dealt with each of them. Many people who are churchgoers think that a person must know a lot about Jesus in order to come to him and to be able to relate to him. They feel that Jesus has something to do only with those who have a close personal relationship with him, only with those who devoutly believe in him, or who exercise a good understanding of those vital Christian truths, and who belong perhaps only to a correct church. People with ideas like that, if we can very often fall into that thinking, we tend to set limits on whom Jesus will welcome and whose prayers he will respond to. However, our gospel reading today presents us with two people who approach our Lord with seemingly very little knowledge of him, other than just what they have heard from other people. People who may have had somewhat mixed feelings about Jesus, and who, it seems, have come to Jesus as a last resort after trying every other remedy they could possibly find. Certainly, these are not the kind of people that some might think that Jesus would be interested in serving and helping. Yet Jesus responds positively to both the Jewish synagogue leader and to the woman who had an almost superstitious idea about how Jesus could heal her. Why does Jesus respond in that way? Because they come to him. They seek help from him. They are people who are in need. Their coming gives evidence of a spark of faith that perhaps this one can and will do something about their needs. They may have come with a poor understanding, but still they come. And they get what they expect to receive from Jesus. Our Lord's response to them reveals an openness to those who come, regardless of the completeness of their understanding of him, no matter how shallow their faith may be, even if they come to him as a last hope. Unbelievable? I guess it is. Especially to those who would either consciously or subconsciously set limits on God's love. There are those who might say that we should not expect too much from Jesus. They say that many problems are beyond Jesus' ability to assist with. They might question whether Jesus can really help me cope with my troubled marriage, or with my wayward child, or with my chronic illness. Perhaps I just simply have to grin and bear it. We tend to think that because a problem is out of our hands, that therefore it must also be out of God's hands. our gospel reading today deals with this question of God's ability. The woman came and touched Jesus' robe and was healed that very moment. And while she was wrong about the idea that just touching his robe was where the power came from, she was right to have faith in Jesus and in his ability to save and to rescue. As Jesus said to her, "Your faith has made you well." And Jairus, the Jewish synagogue ruler, also received a positive answer to his request, as his daughter was graciously restored to life by Jesus. When someone asks why Jesus should be troubled with a problem, we should ask, who else is there who really can help us with our greatest needs? Jesus alone has the words of eternal life, and he is able to do far more than all that we can ask or imagine. Have you ever been interrupted when you were quite busy? You know the feeling that can come over you when there is a long list of work that needs to be done. A lot of times that one person who just loves to talk and doesn't seem really conscious of other things that you might have on your schedule. Well, that's not a problem when you have the time and those kinds of conversations can be enjoyable. But when you're feeling overwhelmed with all the things that you have to do, that kind of thing might cause you to panic a little bit. We see that Jesus' disciples were often protective of his time and his energy, and they sought to limit who could come to him and when and with what kinds of situations. However, Jesus did not allow himself to be governed by those ideas and standards that were imposed on him by others. As he was getting ready to teach, Jesus allowed Jairus to interrupt. And then on the way to go and see Jairus' daughter, he also allowed that woman with the flow of blood to interrupt. Perhaps we also have felt that we sometimes didn't want to bother Jesus with the things that are on our hearts and minds. With all the problems in the world, why would Jesus want to hear our little complaints or to deal with our rather insignificant hurts and problems? But that's just the way it is with our Savior. The sick woman is given some time to experience Jesus' healing power and care. And Jesus would not go on with his planned trip until that woman had also come to an increased knowledge of the nature of the one who healed her. Jesus literally invites interruptions as he reminds all people in another part of the gospel, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." He wants us to come at any time, wherever we may be, for whatever reason. He would also like if we would arrange our lives in a similar way. Can we adjust our schedules to answer the calls of life and to help to meet the needs of others out of our service of love for our Savior? Jesus saw those people who came to him not as interruptions on his important schedule, but as opportunities to serve and to help. In our reading, we see Jesus individualize the attention that he gives. After the woman reached out to Jesus, she heard him ask in response, "Who touched me?" The disciples responded in a somewhat sarcastic manner. They said, "You see this crowd pressing tightly against you, and yet you still say, 'Who touched me?' How could one person who touched him be singled out among that crowd that was milling all around?" But that's exactly what Jesus proceeded to do. He responded to that shy approach of this individual need just as surely as the needle on a compass responds to that magnetic north pole. It seems preposterous, at least to many people, that God could care individually for one person when there are billions of people throughout the world. But that is precisely the kind of concern that Jesus demonstrates. He whom the whole world cannot contain makes himself small enough to enter the loneliness of one single woman. He is there for each of us, as though there were only one person in need in the whole world. Jesus saw the sick woman. And he sees in each of us one of his Father's dearly loved children. He wants each of us to know him personally, to see what faith has really grasped when we believe in him as our Savior. That we're not just touching the hem of his garment, but that we're really grasping the very power of God. He wants us to know what is happening in this relationship between us and him. And so he called out to that woman. Perhaps you were scared. Will Jesus punish me for what I have dared to do? By touching him, according to the Old Testament ceremonial law, she had made him ceremonially unclean. If a person was chronically ill or had a bodily discharge that was irregular, according to the regulations that God had given to his people through Moses, that person was ceremonially unclean, and anyone who came into contact with that person was also ceremonially unclean. And that's just the point. Our uncleanliness is traded for healing and restoration. We who are sick with sin can transfer that illness to Jesus for his healing through the forgiveness of sins that he won for us on the cross. Jesus came so that each and every person might be blessed through him. All people on earth are to learn that there is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. How often is it said among Christians that I don't know enough about Jesus, or I don't know the right words to say in order to speak to others about him? And besides, that's what we pay our pastor for. People also fail to testify about Jesus' love, because we sometimes forget how much the Lord has been with us and has done for us in very difficult times. As Christians, we must think about what happens to other people who are in trouble when we forget to tell about what God has done for us in our lives. People sometimes need to hear from us how God has delivered us and he has helped and rescued us. It was that kind of report that the woman in our text had heard. That she had heard from other people who had either been healed by Jesus themselves or who had seen his miracles. And it was those reports that brought her to seek out Jesus, the Savior. And eventually, as a result, it brought her increased faith. And she received the fulfillment of what she had hoped for. So may our lives and our words carry reports of Jesus that would make those who hear us and who know us eager to begin that journey of a relationship with Jesus for themselves. Many people say there is a point beyond which no one can go. In our reading, a group of mourners came out and told Jesus that he didn't need to bother to continue to the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler, because the young girl who had been sick had not died. They implied that this was a boundary that not even this powerful teacher and miracle worker could cross. And when Jesus came to the house and told them that the girl was only sleeping, they laughed at him. They laughed at him for his idea that there could be something on the other side of death, for believing that he could venture beyond the fixed limits of this life. And so Jesus threw them out of the house. When faith arrives, doubt must go away. Faith must always ignore the rumor that hope has died. And then Jesus proceeded to the child's bedside. And by the power of God's word that resides outside the bounds of human reason and human limitations, Jesus commanded that little girl to rise again in life. And she did, just as if she had only been sleeping. Where, O grave, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Those who come to Christ, who take Jesus seriously enough to cross that line of doubt, to cross those lines of peer pressure, of personal opinions, of shame, who are not afraid but only believe, they shall hear the healing words of Jesus. Your faith has made you well. The great physician Jesus is not just some kindly philanthropist. This is true God reconciling the world to himself. He will have the last laugh over death. There are no boundaries that Jesus will not cross on our behalf. We have seen his power and his compassion triumph over hopelessness, over fear and ignorance, and even death. He comes to us in the limits of the world that we live in, and he opens up possibilities far beyond all of those limitations. He goes with us. He blazes the trail ahead of us and reaches back to draw us to himself. He heals along the way and bears the taunts of cynicism and disbelief, even to the point of his own death for us on the cross. His constant support, encouragement, and forgiveness throughout our lives enables us to break through to the Father, to overcome sin and guilt and self. And he is at our deathbed. His words of great promise shall bring forth a joy beyond all imagination as we hear him command us to awake from the sleep of death and to dwell eternally in the house of our loving Heavenly Father. He crosses all barriers and carries us safely through hell and death to where the best is yet to come. Amen.